Chapter 6. The Fisherman's Replies. Edmund plunged into the icy water. He wriggled free of the sack, but he was dragged deeper by the cannonball attached to his legs. He felt as if his lungs were on fire. Then he remembered the knife. He grabbed the blade from his pocket and cut the rope, freeing himself of the weight. He burst to the surface. But now a wave slammed him against a fishing boat, tethered to the rocks. Exhausted, Edmund just managed to cling onto the side of the boat and haul himself up onto the deck. But there was no time to rest. Soon the guards would discover Edmund had escaped. With his last gasps of strength, he rowed and rowed until Chateau d'If was just a shadowy speck in the distance. Ahead, he could see lights glimmering on Marseille's docks. Edmund had dreamed of his home for 20 years, but the sight gave him no joy. All he thought of was revenge. Another fishing boat passed. Edmund called to the captain.
"I'm headed to Marseille's to surprise an old friend. Do you know a man named Danglars?"
"I did once," the fisherman replied, "but he moved to Paris. I hear he is a rich banker now, called Baron Danglars."
"What about Fernand Mondego?"
"He too is a rich man. He lives in Paris with his wife and son, Albert."
Edmund couldn't believe it. While he had been rotting in jail, his enemies had grown rich.
"Do you know a girl named Mercedes?" he asked.
"You're truly out of luck," the fisherman laughed. "She lives in Paris too. She is Fernand's wife."
Edmund slumped to the deck. More than ever, he craved revenge. A plan was forming in his head. First, he would go to Monte Cristo and find the abbé's treasure. Then he would disguise himself as a rich noble, like his enemies. He would enter their lives, and he would destroy them. Chapter 7. The Carnival at Rome. Almost 1 year after Edmund's escape from prison, a carriage clattered up to the most magnificent hotel in Rome. Two young men stepped out. One was Beauchamp, a writer from Paris. The other was Albert Mondego, the son of Mercedes and Fernand.
"This is the finest hotel in Rome," Albert declared. "Surely it is the perfect place to watch the carnival."
But inside, Albert's smile disappeared.
"I'm afraid all of our rooms have been taken," the hotel manager said, "by one man."
"What sort of man would take over an entire hotel?" asked Beauchamp.
Albert was already marching upstairs to find out. He had boasted to his friends that he'd be staying in this hotel, and would look like a fool if he was not. But before he could decide which door to knock on, one of them flew open. A servant bowed.
"Gentlemen," he said, "the Count of Monte Cristo is expecting you."
"Expecting us?" Albert said. "What a peculiar thing."
Inside, the room was decorated like a palace, with tapestries on the walls and magnificent paintings in golden frames. Albert had never seen such luxury.
"My father knows all of Europe's noblemen," he told Beauchamp. "But I've never heard of the Count of Monte Cristo. Who is this man?"
A door flew open, and in swept Edmond Dantès. His face was disguised by a neat beard, and he wore a velvet coat, intricately embroidered with gold. He introduced himself as the Count of Monte Cristo.
"Gentlemen," the Count said, bowing gracefully, "I hope you would join me to watch the carnival from my balcony."
As the Count led the way, Albert whispered to Beauchamp,
"How mysterious! His skin is as white as snow. It is as if he has been living underground."
Fireworks fizzled into the sky as the carnival began. Costume performers paraded through the streets, dancing, juggling, and singing songs. As Albert and Beauchamp watched, the Count charmed them with tales of his travels around the world.
"But it is Paris that I would most like to visit," he said. "My dear Count," Albert said, "I live in Paris. You must come and visit."
"I would love to," said the Count. "Can you recommend a banker in the city to look after my money?"
"There's none finer than Baron Danglars," Albert replied, "and you can meet my father, too, Fernand Mondego."
A muscle twitched in the Count's neck. "Perfect," he said. "I will come in exactly 1 month, at 3 o'clock." As more fireworks exploded over the balcony, Albert leaned to Beauchamp.
"What a magnificent man," he whispered. "I cannot wait for him to meet my parents."